Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Are you interested in angels, demons, spirits, ghosts, and monsters? Are you curious about their origins, tales, and influence upon history and on the present day? If so, sit back, relax, and welcome to Southern Demonology, the podcast that explores all of this and more.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello all, welcome back to another episode of Southern Demonology. As always, I'm your host, JJ. Welcome to episode 70. And let me start off by saying that I cannot believe how far the podcast has come in this year alone. In March, I decided to switch to weekly releases and see just how much further I could get it to grow. And since then, well, now this is the 30th episode, nearly doubling what it took me 4 years to create otherwise. And as of today, Sunday, October 2nd, the podcast has over 22,000 downloads since March. So let me give a very soft, albeit enthusiastic, woot! Another bit of good news. For those who have not heard, Japan has decided to open its doors to the world once again come October 11th, which means that I am currently exploring when I can actively go and see my family there. Another hooray! And yes, I'm also planning out a trip back to Tennessee to see my mom, in case any of y'all are wondering, and you know who you are. And since good things should come in threes, we have finally hit spooky season, the best month of the year, and we are starting things off right with a two-part interview with Father Michael Birdsong, a practicing exorcist who has performed over 30 exorcisms since undertaking that role. Further, this interview is actually fulfilling the podcast name. Not only are we talking about demonology, but Father Birdsong is also from Georgia. One final thing. In honor of the Halloween month, I'm going to start a limited edition run of a second weekly release that does some horror movie reviews that can help you get further into the spirit of things. Though those episodes will be a little shorter in runtime, I hope you enjoy it. In fact, I'm going to call it Southern Demonology Bites. Get it? Demons bite, and they're also in bite size. Yeah, I probably didn't need to expound upon that, but hey, I'm a dad. What do you expect? Look forward to the first one dropping Friday, October 7th at 2 p.m. Eastern. With all that said, sit back, relax, and enjoy the first part of this interview, which I've entitled The Kingdom of Hell. Hello, all. You may remember a few episodes back, I had interviewed a person from our Discord, JoshB93, who had gone through a pretty harrowing tale of trying to help a family member with their house. Well, this time around, I am very happy to tell you all that I have his father, Father Birdsong, and the father is because he is a priest. And I really wanted to plunge into his areas of expertise and knowledge because he has quite a bit of field experience. And it's actually something that we've never been able to explore. Like, we've had a lot of conversations about demonic presence, about the demonic theory, things that have been written about by very scholarly individuals. But I have never really had the chance to go through and talk to someone who has actually practiced all of this. And so, Father Birdsong, thank you so much for agreeing to join us today.
Yes, sir. It's my pleasure to be with you, JJ.
Before we even begin, and I like to be a little bit cautious whenever we're talking about the adversary, would you mind just leading a short prayer just for everyone?
Absolutely. I'll be honored to. Well, Father, we thank you today that you love us and that your grace is available for all. And Father, I just pray that during this conversation that I ask that you would guard us, protect us from the evil one. And Lord, even those that are listening, that what is being said would not affect them or instill fear in any way. And I just pray that the presence of the Holy Spirit would be with us and upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amin, Shilach. All righty. Thank you for that beautiful prayer. With that, can you introduce yourself?
Well, yes, I am Father Michael Birdsong, and I am a pastor of St. Michael and All Angels Charismatic Episcopal Church in Thomaston, Georgia. And I have been here since 1993. Been here quite a long time.
I would say so. How did you find yourself, just to clarify, what positions do you occupy within the church?
I am the priest / rector or pastor of our parish in Thomaston, Georgia. I am submitted under Christ the King in Sharpsburg, Georgia, where Bishop David Epps is my bishop and my authority.
Gotcha. And you also serve as an exorcist, am I correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
This kind of happened just out of the blue several years ago because I had some experience, and my bishop asked me to take care of a few situations. And over the past, I'm going to say 10 years, I've been called on quite a few times to deal with demonic presences in homes or upon possessed people. And it's not fun, but it's quite interesting.
I would say that's probably the understatement of the century.
Yes, sir.
So how exactly did you find yourself along this path? I know you said it was more by happenstance, but you had mentioned some personal experiences. What kind of experiences?
Well, yes, sir. My very first experience with the demonic realm or the supernatural realm was in, I want to say, maybe 1991. Mm-hmm. I was a seminary student, and I was in Belize, Central America, before Belize turned into a tourist attraction. I was actually in the jungle areas, and we were at a small village, and we were ministering to the people. And during the service, I'll say, this woman who later we found out was actually a village witch doctor looked, and she was running around on all fours, on hands and knees, like a dog, and foaming at the mouth, and came right up to me. And JJ, I just have to say, at that point, I was scared to death. I didn't know what was going on.
I couldn't even begin to imagine. I mean,
it blew me away. And at that point, I said, well, I guess the scriptures are really real. So after that, I just dived into the spiritual warfare things and started to admire the sacredness and the authority of the Holy Scriptures and to realize that it is true. And what a lot of people don't realize, JJ, is the things that we see on TV sometimes,
mm-hmm.
that stuff is real. It is very real. And when you see it, you will become a believer. if you have any doubt that God is real, when you see something like this, you're going to become a believer real quick.
My goodness.
One of my second experiences was I was still a seminary student, and a family member of mine, she was married to a sailor, and they were stationed in Turkey, and things went south, and she started dabbling in witchcraft, and she moved back to the States and was with my grandmother. And I got home from my class that day, and she met me at the door all black-eyed, and her face was just disfigured, kind of. And she was smoking a cigarette and was burning her face. And she looked at me dead in my eyes and said,
"You're about to die."
And I said, "Well, not today." So anyway, to make a long story short, I went back to my professor who has been my mentor and friend for over 32 years. And that was although it was my second experience, but it was my very first experience in helping in an exorcism. You could actually see the presence of about 7 demons coming out of her. But the most amazing thing, JJ, and it just shows the grace of God, is that the burn marks on her face that she self-inflicted, they healed right before my eyes.
Really?
Yes, sir. And so it was at that point to where I was like, okay, you know, the scripture, the man says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief.
Yes, sir.
I became a believer that day. And that's when everything got serious with me, that I'm heading in the right direction and heading into this area of spiritual warfare to help others.
So something you just said really kind of sparked a question. You had mentioned that her face was disfigured in some way.
Yes, sir.
How exactly would you describe that?
I would describe it as a distortion of her face would take effect.
Mm-hmm.
But most of all in the eyes, if you ever come against a figure of darkness, you can always see it in their eyes. They can become black or reddish black looking. And you know the old saying that the eyes are the windows to the soul? You
yes,
know
what sir. I'm talking about?
Well, that's very true, especially in the spiritual realm.
Do you often run across that? Because I know that, have you ever read Father Malachi Martin's book, Hostage to the Devil?
Yes, actually, Josh has gotten me reading it now, so...
Okay.
I'm a beginner on that book.
Well, there is a part where it's mentioned kind of the thumbprint of the devil.
Oh,
where
yeah.
A person's face is distorted in some fashion. Is that a very frequent thing, or is it just something that is going to happen if someone is underneath demonic influence?
In I would experience? Not. Well, you know, there's different degrees of demonic possession on a person, but when it gets very serious, when they get to the beyond the oppressed stage and start beginning into the possessed stage, the demonic presence it'll make itself known, and it'll start integrating itself into the physical being of that person. And so what they're trying to do is take the creation of God of that human being and distort it into their presence, if that makes sense to you.
It does. Okay.
The best way I can explain it is if you're looking at a person like that, their face will become fuzzy. It'll be fuzzy like you're having a bad TV reception. You know, it'll distort and wave. You can actually see it.
Oh, gosh. I'm just picturing that in my mind right now, and nothing about that is a good experience.
No, it is not. And what hurts me so much, JJ, is the failure of the church teaching things like that today. Because we don't want to offend anyone, you know. We want to make our life in the kingdom all rainbows and unicorns, right? And we never face anything bad, but yet we're failing people and watching people fall away by not teaching them about spiritual warfare.
I would completely agree with you. Now, I am a Catholic. I was converted from being a Southern Baptist from way back in the day.
Wow.
And I can tell you that there are certain dioceses that are doing what they're supposed to do. They at least have an exorcist on staff. And yes, there are others that completely reject the entire notion and will have nothing to do with it. And you even, you know, had some popes in which have said that, oh yeah, the devil is more of a spiritual concept, more so than an actual one. And yeah, I hear that stuff and it just shakes me to my core.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because I recently read a story back in February of 22 this year. There was a study done, and you would be surprised, but 37% of pastors, whether they be Roman Catholics, Baptists, Methodists, so on and so forth, 37% of all pastors don't believe in hell or the devil.
I just don't understand how.
I don't either.
Really don't.
Yeah.
I know that you've said that you've been heavily involved in this, but have you seen kind of an uptick in activity over the years, or has it stayed kind of relatively the same?
Well, if we look at it scripturally, in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon mentions that there's nothing new under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a very true statement. And the same battles that were faced then, we're facing now. I would not say that there's an uptake in it, but what I will say this is because of the, I hate to put it this way, JJ, but the downfall of our nation, things are coming more blatant and in your face, to where the demonic presence used to like to hide, where it won't be found out. Now we live in a society where everything goes. So it's more in your face every day. And I mean, all we have to do is look around. We can, if we start paying attention to the things around us, we can see people wearing the Wicca stones around their necks, or vials of oil. Or, I mean, my God, JJ, they sell Ouija boards at Toys R Us in Walmart.
That is true.
Yes, there is a sense of uptake, I would say, but mostly it's more blatant and in your face and unashamed. That's what I'm looking for.
Yep, that makes sense to me. So you had mentioned a few different kind of categories, and I've always heard them as, you know, demonic oppression, obsession, yes, and possession. Do you kind of follow the same categories? Do you have different ones? And what really kind of defines those different categories to you?
Well, the categories that you just mentioned is very true, but there's one last one that I will hit on.
Sure.
Most of the time in the beginning, a person will face what's called oppression, just like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And that is when the person will, they'll either start having like severe mood changes, if you know what I mean. They'll start feeling senses of depression and anxiety. But if they keep going forward and opening the doors to that, then you hit the possession stage, where they have allowed and opened the door completely for that demonic presence to take over their life. And then that's when you start seeing the severe outbreaks, and they're afraid of holy objects or the sacraments especially, and I know you understand that. But then if it keeps going and they totally yield themselves to it, you get to what's called integration, or another word for that is called a perfect possession. And that's where the person and the entity actually become one. Even the scriptures would call that where St. Paul talks about people coming over to a reprobate mind, where they have just totally turned their back on God openly and blatantly and in rebellion. And they have become one with that presence. And I would say 90% of the time when that happens there, that's to a point of no return.
Definitely. I know that Father Martin has written about perfect possession, has spoken about it. And we even had 3 episodes from one person who had encountered 3 different people that he thought may have been perfectly possessed. Have you ever encountered one of these individuals?
I have never encountered one of the quote-unquote perfectly possessed persons. Most of the time, I won't say most of the time, but every time that I've ever been called in, they were at a point of return. But if a person don't want to return, hey, there's nothing we can do.
True. Now, I'm going to ask you this, and it may be kind of a simplistic question, and I apologize if that's the case. So a person has free will, and they have to consent either verbally or mentally. But how does, in your experience, how does a demon actually get around that inviolate barrier of free will?
They get around the area of free will when the person gives up their free will.
Okay.
And I mean, that's a very simple answer, but you have to think about that. If a person starts to dabble, we'll say, let's just say Wicca, or starts playing around with Ouija boards and things like that, they open a door. And when they open that door, that is the beginning of them giving up their free will. And what happens is they dive deeper and deeper and deeper until they give their will to that specific demon. And when they give that will up, they find themselves as, well, they find themselves as Lucifer, the fallen one, who was once a light bearer, you know. He gave up his archangel status in heaven. He was the beloved, remember?
Yep.
And he gave it up. And so the same thing happens with a person. When they go beyond a certain point, they're saying, okay, you know, we pray to our Father, right? Not my will be done. Well, the same thing is on the flip side. If we give that free will up, we're saying, okay, the demonic realm, not my will, but your will. And so we have given permission, so to speak, for that presence to take over our mind, our will, and our emotions, or our soul. You know, the soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions, right? And so we have given up our free will and given that entity the right to take over.
Gotcha. Thank you for that. That was a beautiful answer.
I hope I'm making sense.
No,
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You made perfect sense. In fact, likening it back to Lucifer himself, I think that was an extremely apt analogy, and I really like that.
Well, if you look at the story, I mean, one can't help but feel sorry for Lucifer. I mean, he was the beloved, remember? he was the light bearer. And actually, the scriptures, if you read it correctly, when it's spoken in Isaiah and even Jesus himself, you know, he speaks of it. How great you have fallen, O morning star. That's just not a statement. That's a heartfelt emotion. You have fallen, Lucifer. You who were beloved, you have failed, and all because of pride.
Yeah, in fact, that brings up an interesting point. Whenever you have either biblical or extra biblical writings where a prophet comes, is either speaking about or speaking to the demonic,
right?
It's always with sadness and pity in their voice rather
absolutely
than with hate.
Absolutely. I mean, I love the book of Enoch.
I do too.
I mean, the way he explains the fallen angels, wow. I mean, this dude really feels sorry for him. And especially in the apocryphal writings, people don't want to get into those things, but they fail to realize that it is part of the book. The early church fathers just didn't deem it canon because it was rhetorical.
Since you brought up Enoch, this is my operating theory, and I want to see if you agree or disagree. To me, one of the ways in which Enoch could never be canonical is in the sense that, you know, you had the watchers come down, they propagated right with the daughters of man,
right?
They taught them, you know, secret knowledge, and then the Nephilim were born, and then they decided to fornicate and eat whatever they can get their hands on, and then the archangels came down, sent the deluge,
correct?
But it didn't solve any of the problems. Like, the Nephilim were still there. They were just now, because they were the most horrid amalgamation of flesh and spirit, their spirit is now just roaming about in the atmosphere, waiting to cause havoc whenever they possibly can.
Correct.
So yeah. I've always had an issue with that.
Well, I
always love to get your take. That's what I'm saying.
You know, I learned a long time ago to agree to disagree with anything,
mm-hmm.
But I like your take on that. But the way I look at it is Christ himself speaks of the God of this world, right? And we know that the God of this world is Lucifer or Satan.
Mm.
You know, we have God the Father, the creator of heaven and earth. But then Christ speaks, you are your father, you are of your father, the devil, the god of this world. When he is speaking to the terrible Pharisee people, you know.
Mm.
And so the god of this world, the scriptures tells us that Lucifer brought, what, one third of heaven with him?
Mm.
So that's their job. We all read this scripture. We've probably heard it a million times, but we tend to overlook the true meaning of it, especially when St. Paul reminds us that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, right?
Right.
We all stop right there a lot of times, but we forget the part where he speaks of rulers, principalities, and powers. You see, all three of those are different things. Just like there's an order in heaven, there is an order of the dark side. Whenever I say the dark side, it reminds me of Star Wars, the dark side of the force, you know. But you have the ruler, right, which is Satan. Then you have the powers, and the powers are the higher order of the demonic angels that say is like over a region. Then you have the principalities that are sent from these powers as a governor or something like that over a specific city or county or state. You know, you have to look at it that way. But see, they are fallen and they have assignments. So yes, they are roaming the earth to bring havoc on the creation of God. And that's what it really all boils down to. is the demonic people, or excuse me, the demonic presence, or the demon, so to speak, are just obeying Lucifer to bring havoc on God's creation.
Now, we've been talking about the demonic things. I have, in a lot of the books that I have read, you will normally find themselves call themselves the kingdom.
Yes.
Have you ran across that, or have you heard of any other types of monikers that they like to assign themselves?
Well, just like you said, they like to call themselves the kingdom. And if you look at it, that's what Christ refers to his bride. You know, we are of the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, just as Lucifer said, he said, I will exalt myself, right? And that's when he fell like lightning to earth. He has set up his kingdom. So they refer to themselves as the kingdom, just as we refer to ourselves as the kingdom of God.
Gotcha. Okay.
And, you know, that's why Christ himself reminds us in the Gospels that the enemy knows that a kingdom divided would not stand. See, the kingdom of Lucifer understands order. It understands authority. And if that authority can be broken, that's when we find ourselves in a mess.
Absolutely. That's a beautiful way of putting it. So I know that you've kind of gone over a little bit in your previous answer, but what would you say is the purpose of the demonic?
The purpose of the demonic is to destroy God's creation, period.
Okay. Yeah, I've kind of always said that their purpose is not just, it is to destroy, but it is also to corrupt and to make filthy.
I always say this too. If the enemy can't destroy, he'll try to divide. If he can't divide, he will try to distract. And that's the purpose. I mean, it's real easy to say that his job is to destroy the kingdom, but it goes deeper than that. I mean, and we can talk about ways that he could destroy, distract, and divide all day long. Its main purpose is to bring a mockery and disgrace the creation of God.
That was very eloquently put. I love that, especially the divide and distract part. I have never, ever, like, considered that part of it before. So I like that one. In talking about the sailor's wife, you had mentioned that 7 demons erupted.
Yes.
Is that usually the case? I'm just going to go back to, well, I think what most people are familiar with, which are movies, in which you will find it's always one demon that is doing the possessing. And correct. You find that in a lot of other literature as well. Have you seen different? Do they normally operate as a group? Do you find multiples within a single individual? How does that work according to your experience?
Well, according to my experience, most of the time, except for that one time, it was a single demonic entity.
Okay.
But from what the person dealt with, I'm trying not to destroy confession and confidentiality here.
Oh, no, absolutely.
But let's just put it this way. Do you remember the story where the demonic person was running through the graveyards and bringing havoc upon himself and beating himself and just going crazy?
Yes, sir.
And then Christ came and said, "Who are you?" And the entity in it said, "We are legion because of what? We are many."
We are many.
And so, yes, it is possible for someone to be possessed by many, depending on what they open themselves up to. Let's just put it in hypothetically speaking, okay?
Sure.
Let's just say someone can be tormented with... Now, I understand there's real mental illness out there. Don't get me wrong. And I'm sorry, but you cannot cast out mental illness. We need to make that straight right now. But there is also a demonic presence that will drive people crazy. And then people may suffer with lust in their lives, or suffer with this, or get into all kind of different things. And they, what they find themselves doing is opening up several doors, so to speak, and willfully inviting the legion into them, if that makes sense to you.
It does. In fact, that leads me to one other question. In fact, let me, linking that back to legion, yes,
okay,
completely understand. That makes total sense. A lot of the cases that you have alluded to so far have been from people opening doors. And if you've ever heard any other episodes that I've done, you know that I'm strictly against opening those types of doors.
Exactly.
In any way, shape, or form.
Oh, by the way, just going down a little rabbit hole very quickly. I love your podcast, man.
Oh,
I love them. I love them. Yeah. And especially when you are speaking of your childhood, and although you may not have ever dealt with possession, so to speak, you've dealt with a lot of dark presences in your life.
Oh, I would completely agree with that.
And those stories are awesome to me. But anyway, I'm sorry. I went down a rabbit hole.
No. Trust me. This entire conversation is meant to be as many rabbit holes that we can go down, the better off we are.
Honestly. Oh, great. All right.
A lot of the things that you've alluded to have been from people opening doors, but have you ran into other cases where they haven't opened a door, or at least it wasn't obvious what kind of door they were like actively trying to push open?
It's funny that you mentioned that, because I addressed that in the class this morning.
Yeah, can you just say what class you're talking about? Because I wish I was there.
Oh, yeah. I am teaching a class on the nature of the demonic. And the purpose of that is to bring back to the church the war in the heavenlies that we're facing every day. I mean, people don't realize that we're facing a serious battle for the soul of man. I believe that God has assigned that task to me to bring that back to the church once more, to warn the people, to be that watchman on the wall, so to speak, and say, hey, we got a problem.
Have you actually encountered people that have been attacked without inviting that within their lives?
But like I said, this morning when I was teaching that class, I had to remind people that we can ever so innocently open a door for the demonic and not even realize that that's what we're doing.
Do you have any examples of that? So I would love to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, sure. I used an example from the scripture this morning. We all know King Saul, right? In the Old Testament. He was the anointed king of Israel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And God told him to go and utterly destroy this kingdom, every man, every woman, every ox, every ass, everything, right? But he didn't do it. And he goes on to say, and he blames it on the people. Well, the people wanted to make sacrifices. That seems ever so innocently, right? I mean, hey, if they wanted to sacrifice these things unto you. That's not what God said. God said, destroy it. And even in our own lives, we can ever so innocently open ourselves up to the things of the demonic. Let's just say someone wants to go see a palm reader, right?
Right.
Someone may do that out of total ignorance because they don't know better. But they're ever so innocently and ignorantly opening themselves up to a false prophet or the demonic entity. And we all do that. We all do things ever so innocently and not really understand what we're doing. And it can all stem back to the garden, right? Did God really say that you would die if you partake of this tree? Surely God won't kill you. So what happened? Eve and Adam partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the same thing that we're facing now that they faced then seemed ever so innocently. Now look what we have. It's kind of like telling your child, don't cross the road. Well, my ball went across the road, so I needed to go get my ball, right? That seems innocent. That's not what mom and daddy said.
True. I like how you phrased that. That is a very lofty goal that you have just stated, to bring back the importance of spiritual warfare.
Yes, sir.
Have you ever thought about taking this class, which I know that you teach in person, and doing a few things online with it so that you can kind of get a broader reach?
Well, actually, Josh is, of course, you know, Josh, he has been on me to do things like that. And I've just been dragging my feet, but I do need to do that. I really do.
Well, if I can ever help in any way in that form, just let me know.
Oh, well, I will do
it. I would love to be able to hear this class, honestly.
And I've actually written a book, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir. I wrote a book called Becoming the House of Prayer. The purpose of that book, Becoming a House of Prayer, was to remind us of where we came from and how important a loving covenantal relationship with God is all about. So I would highly recommend anyone to read that book first for your own life before you even think about dabbling in demonology.
Where can people find that book? Is it on Amazon? Or?
Yes, it's on Amazon. Just type in Becoming a House of Prayer by Father Michael Birdsong. I can also email you a link for it. Or there is, Josh just created me a website for that book, www.becomingahouseofprayer.com.
Oh, beautiful. I'll have that linked not only in the show notes, but I will also add this to our website, southerndemonology.com, under Friends of the Show, and I'll have that link right there for you.
But the reason why, JJ, that I brought that up is most of us in the Christian world, quote unquote, several years ago, and I'm sure you'll remember this, you know, back in the 80s, we had a demon for everything, right?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of panic going on.
Yeah. You know, and then came the teaching of the believer's authority, right? Well, that just teaches you enough to get your tail handed to you by a demonic presence. But the biggest thing about the book is it takes us back to the beginning, because the scripture reminds us, and it asked us in the Psalms, who may ascend unto God's holy mountain or God's holy hill? Those with clean hands and a pure heart. And the purpose of that book is to take us back to those roots to become effective in the kingdom.
Gotcha. Over your many years of being in the field, how many exorcisms have you performed?
Oh, Lord. 30, maybe.
Oh, my gosh. How do you...
Some of them can be very scary, too, especially when they exercise this supernatural strength. I remember one not too long ago that Josh helped me with. It was a little 12-year-old boy, and Josh had to physically hold him down because this boy was wanting to whoop my tail.
I remember him telling that story and that supernatural strength that that boy exhibited. What other types of, I would typically classify that as, to quote the movie, gross displays of power.
Yes.
Do you often run across those types of gross displays of power, or are they few and far between?
In very severe cases, you will run into that. I remember another time I was at the church, and this Native American woman walked in with her staff. As soon as I looked at her, I said, oh my God, she's possessed. She tried to hit me with her staff.
Really?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I just reached up and caught it and just gently, very gently, just pushed it down and looked into her eyes and said, you're not going to hit me. I immediately, at that point, started reciting the prayer of St. Michael. And she did not like that.
Wow.
I mean, she did not like that one bit. But she left free and actually thanked me and said, I came here for help. Although she came there for help, JJ, but when she walked into the holy place, that's when it affected her the most.
I could not imagine how a person who is possessed could even muster up the will in order to walk into a church.
Well, see, that all goes back to the, from the oppressed days to the possession, and then from the possession, what we talked about earlier, the perfect possession.
Uh-huh.
There's still that time, there's still that opening to where that free will still exists. And that's why she said, I came here for help, because she knew she was being affected. And so that's why she was able to walk in. But notice, soon as she walked through the door and she saw what you and I would call the sacramentums, the holy objects, that's when it affected her. That's when that demonic presence started resisting within her. And that's why she lashed out at me.
Wow.
Thank you for listening to Southern Demonology. Find us online at southerndemonology.com, where you can find all of our social and podcasting links. Also, if you have a moment, please feel free to rate this podcast and leave any encouraging feedbacks that you may have. As always, I am JJ, and it has been a pleasure getting to talk to you today.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.